Hello, I'm Keith Perron, and welcome to Focus Asia Pacific from the newsroom of PCJ Radio International. Today, we bring you part two of a documentary program called Young, Cool, and Kazakhstani. Of course, it takes place in it's about Kazakhstan, an area of the world of Central Asia that we really haven't been to many times before. Now, more than 24 years after independence, young Kazakhstanis are still trying to make sense of their dark history and their place in the new world order. At least half of the 18 million population of Kazakhstan is under 30, born and raised in the post-Soviet era. Russian journalist Tatiana Masovich goes to Almaty, the cultural capital of the country, to meet young Kazakhs to find out how they're moving their country forward. We now present part two.
My name is Tatiana Mavshevich, and I'm here in Almaty, the largest city of Kazakhstan, to meet young, cool Kazakhstanis and explore how they're forming their country's new identity. As a female journalist, I'm keen to hear the experiences of young women in Kazakhstan.
I was born in South Kazakhstan, but this is the region which is the most conservative, traditionalistic regions. My name is Leila Mahmudova. I'm educator and women empowerment activist. My father and mother, they are ethnically not Kazakhs. They are both ethnical minorities. Father is Azeri and mother is Uzbek. Father's family, he's living in Kazakhstan, like this is the second generation. Before Soviet time, they were deported from Karabakh region to the south of Kazakhstan.
And Leila, you mentioned that southern Kazakhstan is quite conservative. Did you yourself have a conservative upbringing when you were growing up?
Of course, in some terms, my family, as most of their community, are conservative. But at the same time, in many ways, they were also very forward-thinking. In many families still, even my friends, like girls, they were prohibited for walking because it is considered to be not safe sometimes, you know. So my parents somehow, they were with the choice of the education or marriage perspectives or personal choice, it was definitely all about my choice. I think that I'm very lucky with this.
As a female empowerment activist, what obstacles do you need to overcome in your work day to day?
Mainly, people mostly do not recognize that there is a problem. So, first of all, is to explain not only to men, but both to women, that this is not good. We know that up to 500 women die like out of physical violence at home, you know, domestic violence every year. So for a population of like 17, 18 million people, this is a huge like number. The main challenge for me as an activist to spread this message that situation can be different and should be different. And there are already role models within our society who can live in different way and they can do things differently and it really works.
If you look at the history back, Kazakh girls they, and our impresses, they were very active.
Zaure Rozmat, CEO of the Step magazine.
They were participating in war, they were educated, and they were very active. However, during the USSR times, our mothers, they just stopped, you know, being active. But young ladies are, you know, they run business here where I would say very equal.
How difficult is it to be a single mom, even in a progressive place like Almaty?
It's not an easy thing, I would say, because you have to, I mean, as a young mom and a modern mom in our times, it's hard to find support in terms of, you know, just leaving your kid with someone. And it's about, again, our culture.
And what about things like stigma or prejudice? Did you face any of that?
I faced the prejudice when I just got divorced. And here in our society, there is still, you know, like the treated very, very badly, and they blame usually a lady, not a male, with the divorce. They say, oh, something is wrong with her, not him. And I faced it. Since that time, it was 10 years ago, everything changed a lot, and we have more divorces than marriages, I would say. But before, it was very hard for me at that time, because I was 19 years old.
I asked Leila whether there is any government support for her work.
one of the projects that I do with European Bank of Reconstruction and Development, which is called Women and Business, the aim of my involvement to this program is to show that they can grow. Because statistics in our country show that more than 80% of self-employed people who are basically entrepreneurs, they are women. And women also encounter for more than 50%, more than a half of small business owners. There are, for example, in the medium-sized business, there are like 9% of women, only 9. As we see from the statistics, women are already very involved into the business, but they stay small. This is again about culture where people are not supportive of women who are making career, you know, and of course they have less confidence, less time, less support, and therefore this leads to these statistics.
What kind of governmental support do you receive for the cause?
We try to change this with additional programs and possibilities for women to like grow their businesses. And the main donor of this program, sponsor of this program, is the government of Kazakhstan. It shows that clearly our government, due to the many international agreements, have this responsibility and strategic aims to improve gender statistics. But talking to people who are actually responsible for gender equality issues in Kazakhstan, I see that they do not understand what is gender equality. They do not understand what is women empowerment. People who are unqualified for this type of job.
So I just arrived to this hotel. It looks very posh. There is a fountain in front and beautiful lights, and it's the mixture of Arabic and Western styles. I've been invited to an LGBT party here, actually, and it's Friday night. And it seems like a perfect opportunity to go have a couple of drinks and talk to activists. The young people I've met so far, they've all been, of course, very different from one another, affected by the turbulent past of the country and this new identity of the country. But the thing that struck me particularly is that they are all struggling to find their place, even in a city like Almaty. They aren't often sure whether they're needed in the society, whether they're valued. I wonder whether being gay or lesbian is a big problem in Kazakhstan, especially after all the negative trends that come out of Russia, because Russia is an enormously significant influence on Kazakhstan politically. Of course, it's also a very traditional and Muslim country.
Амир, это Татьяна. Вообще в Алмате, по-моему, все безопасно. У нас такое ощущение.
My name is Amir Shaykhjanov. I am an LGBT activist here in Almaty, Kazakhstan. I was raised in central Kazakhstan, in a city called Karaganda, but have been living in Almaty since 2004, because I came here to study at the university, and I started the whole thing about LGBT activism a couple of years ago, when suddenly I came to realize that I could speak out for those who might not have someone talk on their behalf, who are not vocal at all.
How easy was it for you to grow up in central Kazakhstan?
It was not easy because this is quite a conservative society in many ways. I can't say that Kazakhstan is generally very religious, but still there are a lot of stereotypes and stigma about certain things, including sexuality. But on the other hand, I grew up in a family that had this respect to someone's personality. I'd say I'm very lucky.
Lena, you are a lesbian and a female empowerment activist.
Yes.
So tell me, what does it mean to be a young lesbian woman living in Almaty?
It's pretty difficult, actually, because of stigmas and discrimination and homophobia, lesbophobia. So we are trying to protect our safe places, our private lives, and we are trying to make some changes in government and in some legislative acts. And we can see the difference in visibility issues. But of course, we have very discriminative law. We have discriminative policy because the society, patriarchy society, thinks that a woman being a lesbian is like something not normal, even more than being a gay man.
Do you ever feel yourself at risk, for example, walking down the street in Almaty?
Well, yes, I have been attacked once near one LGBT club. Yes, I am scared to give an interview, to speak with people, to open myself. But I know I have to do that because I am protected by my community, by my knowledges, by my, I don't know, empowerment. And women like me, or more younger women, women, they are not protected, and I want them to be visible. I want them to know that they are normal, they are not ill, not crazy.
The most precious thing about Almaty are people here.
Asel Yuzhanova.
We all share the same values and we support each other and we want to do something new and try something cool. So we find each other and we accumulate this, I guess, power in a way.
Walking around Almaty, it almost feels like we're in Barcelona or some parts of New York or some parts of the Mediterranean. It's got cafe culture, it's very green, it's very lush, it's sunny, everybody seems to be happy. But how representative is this atmosphere of the whole of Kazakhstan?
Well, I don't think that it represents the whole Kazakhstan or the cities, the regions. In rural areas, life is much harder. If you go deeper into region, you would find different lifestyle and different conditions.
I've ventured out of Almaty to see for myself what life is like in the countryside.
It's now Saturday morning and I've just been picked up by Arsen Rezdaulet and we're heading to his farm. He's an apple farmer and he's growing apples in extreme temperatures and he's about to show me the family farm where he grew up. Arsen, is it true that apple as a fruit, it comes from Kazakhstan, not just Kazakhstan, but the area near Almaty?
Yes, so the gene of the apple called Apple of Seversea was originated here in Almaty region. If we go, for example, in mountain, we can find some.
We're entering the orchard now, and it's a very young orchard. So all of the trees, I suppose, were planted just a couple of years ago. Really lush.
So we have approximately 14 hectares.
There are lots of apples growing on the trees, but they are, of course, at this time, at the end of June, too small to eat.
I was born here in the village. My parents, they were 20 years old. They just decided to continue the education in musical academy. And they left me here with my grandparents. I was 6 months old. They had 10 children, my grandparents. I was raised like I was 11th child.
I just discovered myself that actually there is a tradition in Kazakhstan. It's disappearing now, but it existed when you were young that the first child of the family was often given to grandparents to be brought up, especially during the first 5 or 6 years of his or her life. And you were the first child in your family, and that's what happened.
But after some time, my parents, they got an apartment in the city, in Almaty, and they decided to take me to the city.
We've just come onto the terrace where Arsen's family is hanging out and having dinners. And it looks very Central Asian to me. There are carpets with beautiful patterns everywhere, on the walls, on a few sofas, on the benches. Everything is patterned and it's open from one side, so I can only imagine that it can be used in summer.
So this house was built by my grandfather, Rais, so 60 years ago. It's the third generation of apple orchard here. Yeah, my grandfather is 92 years old, and he's still working. He's a very strong person, very brave, and he's have very good authority, not only in our family, also in the village.
Жастар қазір оқу керек қой әке. Оқу керек, келешекті сол жастар ұстап керек. Мінекей. Жақсы өмір сүру үшін еңбек ету керек.
So he says that younger generation, they have a lot of opportunity nowadays here in Kazakhstan, and they should work a lot, because in the Soviet time they didn't have any opportunities. Some people work with the sales, they buy something and purchase and then sell, but it's not the serious job. The serious job when you produce something by your own.
I'm 27 years old and I'm single.
The cleaning company CEO Almaz Kibikbaev is one of the new generation of Kazakh entrepreneurs Arsen's grandfather would approve of. He models himself on Silicon Valley stars like Elon Musk and the Russian supermarket billionaire Sergei Galitsky. Almaz got his first taste of computer science as a 15-year-old high school student on a year-long scholarship to the US. He then went on to study the subject at university in Washington, D.C.
I live by myself. I feel like my work and this team is my family. And when they come on board, I tell them all the time, we're going to work until we go old, until we're 70. We're going to work that much, and we're going to work like this every day. And sometimes people are afraid. Sometimes people just... sometimes people actually respect that. Yeah, my team is my family. And I tell my colleagues, if you ask any successful businessman who made over $1 billion, what's their secret? I'm pretty sure all of them would say, we just worked. We just worked a lot, that's it. And whatever problems we had, whatever issues, we always had to get up and work. That's the secret. Young entrepreneurs that are working in Silicon Valley right now, they work hard. And I feel like those are our competitors too. Young entrepreneurs working, not necessarily Silicon Valley, but China, Korea, Russia, you need to keep up with their work ethics too. It's either them or you, because they're going to come to your market one day and they're going to take it from you. You need to compete with them. Don't compare yourself to those cleaning companies that are here in Kazakhstan. We already overworked them. Our competitors right now in Silicon Valley, in DC, in New York, in Moscow, in Beijing, those are the people right now working much harder than us. And if we work from 9 to 5, we're not going to be able to succeed. And one day we need to go to their market and we need to conquer their markets too.
One of the things that struck me is that it was hard to believe that the people I met in Almaty were living in a one-party state. They seemed very free. But was that an illusion? Nargis Shukenova is the organizer of the Click Film Festival. She's 26 and studied at the prestigious Gig Film School in Moscow. She kindly invited me to dinner with some of her friends at her parents' luxury apartment. I really wanted to find out whether it was possible to be a young changemaker without a good education, international experience, and being fluent in Russian and English.
So we're in the house of Nargis now. I met Nargis in London already, and we've just had so much food. And that was all prepared by Nargis's mom. And it's just great to experience the culture of Central Asian, Kazakhstani hospitality. And I don't think that this is a rare occurrence, because that's where people meet in each other's houses to talk about things and to swap ideas. During our conversation in London, Nargis mentioned that she still feels like an outsider.
As long as I'm here, I'll do my best. But if I feel that I'm not welcome here, or like my expertise or my skills are not welcome, or nobody needs them here, I'm not gonna like struggle or be like жертва.
A victim, become a victim.
No, I don't want to be a victim, so I'm gonna leave.
My name is Gauhar, and recently I started to work for Impact Hub. It is an organization and place where they connect social and creative entrepreneurs. I personally don't feel myself outsider. I think I'm in the right place to do the work I need to do for this country, because even if sometimes I have the thought maybe to move to another country and I ask myself, what will I do there? Work as a secretary or work as the, I don't know, translator or someone else? It may sound a bit idealistic, yeah, but I want to contribute to development of my country in some small ways.
It would be great not to have only support or funding by international organizations or funds, but more from Kazakh business or from the state.
What happens to young people that perhaps have creative ideas but live in rural areas and have no opportunities, no experience of foreign travel?
What makes more sense, like, or influence people like us? We call ourselves, like, maybe privileged bubble, or people from rural area. But I don't want to divide us from them, because I believe that we can share same values, but maybe we speak in different languages. For example, I speak Russian, they speak Kazakh. But I know that we're not enemies, or there's no barrier between us. Maybe if we find each other, or we collaborate somehow, it's gonna like change. But I'm not sure it's about geography. I believe that it's in the head, you know.
I think that sure, we all came from the rural areas, or at least our parents. But personally, I think we are a bit divided here. The company we have, and some people call this company hipsters. There are people who are intelligent, they speak English, they travel, they work in international organizations or with international donors. And there are people who live in rural areas, or they came from rural areas of Almaty, and they live in suburbs of Almaty. They speak Kazakh, they have different values, and they have different opinions. How do we connect to these Kazakh-speaking people? And we don't have channels. Like, personally, we don't.
Do you think that this circle of creative people doing really interesting things, progressive changes in the country, it's still quite elitist in its nature?
In some ways, yes. Of course, it's not a closed group. Everyone who wants to start something new, who wants to do something creative, can join this group. But you have to have a certain level of education to afford this style of life. And I see that many organizations that work with creative entrepreneurs or social entrepreneurs, they try to reach rural areas and regions. And I believe eventually we will reach this point when this creative industry development will be reached to the regions too.
Eastern and yet Western, traditional and yet cosmopolitan, authoritarian and yet young and progressive, modern Kazakhstan is a puzzle to me. How will these contradictions be tackled by young people?
Young people have all possibilities to be these change makers. But at the same time, we should understand that how much are they taught to be change makers? How much are they given this space and recognition of their own value, a value of their own voice, of their own actions? Because if we talk about ageism in our culture, this is totally taboo, because nobody would understand you if you say that the 15 years old girl can have the same voice as her mother or grandmother. Because part of our culture that elderly people should be more empowered than younger ones. Now, with the development of new skills, new technologies, everything, it is like upside down. And this gives even more power for young women and men. In order to recognize it, in order to see it, you should be mostly taught how to use this power, that this is yours. If you are mostly suppressed in your community, at home, in family, in your classroom, not only by your classmates, but also by your teachers or school administration, upbringing and culture shapes people.
What are the fears of young people for the future? For example, is radicalization one of them?
Well, it's a problem. I think our young people, what they want to be in a good relationship with everyone, like, for example, Russia and US. So why we should choose? This is what I believe young people want. And Islamification, it happens. It happens a lot. I mean, we cannot control it. It happens because we have weak education in terms of, you know, explaining things. That's why so many people want to be in this sects, because they didn't have this chance, you know, to get more knowledge and get more information. That's why they are there.
We have so many talented young people here, and lots of them want to move to other countries to seek better life. But people want to come back and to take that knowledge and experience and put it in practice here in Kazakhstan and localize it. That's important, because not necessarily everything that is done in the US is going to work perfectly here in Kazakhstan.
After just a week in Almaty, I was sad to be leaving this incredible country. As a Russian, I felt a deep connection with many of the young people I met and their hopes and fears for the future. It seems that young Kazakhstanis today want two things more than anything else: to have a chance to do things differently and to live peacefully and put their past behind them.
I try to answer to myself whether I live in this illusion of that we can bring the changes. But the thing is that this country is run by one president. The decisions are made by one group of stakeholders and sometimes by a family. And maybe having these different movements in culture or on urban plan, urban development, is this trendy stuff, talking, arranging these forums, conferences, social projects, having those dialogue, maybe it's just an illusion. Maybe it's just to make an expression that something is happening, but actually we won't achieve the changes. It's not us who make these changes, but at least we tried. At least we were honest with ourselves. At least we didn't give up. We'll see if we achieve it or not, but there is a hope.
Young, Cool, and Kazakhstani, part two of a special program. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International. If you have any comments or questions for us, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. pcjmedia@gmail.com. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.